Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Billy Graham, it was his 99th birthday, one of the greatest evangelists, probably the greatest evangelist of the 20th century. His 99th birthday was this past week. He was interviewed, and one of the questions he was asked was, if you were to tell somebody who is either new to the faith, a new Christian, or searching and trying to find who and what to place their faith in, what to read in the Bible, he said, in the Old Testament, I tell you to start at the beginning, the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the New Testament, I tell you to start with Luke. And we're going to look at the first four verses of Luke this morning, and I think it's also the reason, Luke's words that are inspired by the Holy Spirit are the reason that Pastor Billy Graham would lead the new Christian or the uncertain person about the faith, about who Jesus is, to these verses and this gospel in particular. We're going to walk through these first four verses of Luke this morning. We're going to see why it is he would say that. But more than that, we are going to dive off from these verses. And I'm going to ask you to pray two things this morning as a result of studying these verses. So are you ready to get in the Word? All right, let's get in the Word. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. So this is just the introduction to the gospel. But I would say to you, and many of you would say with me, that these words, the introduction to the gospel of Luke, is just as important as any other verse, because it is God's word. And so I want to ask a couple of questions before we get to the prayers this morning. The first question is this: who wrote this gospel? Who is Luke? And it matters for our understanding of these verses. Luke, as you see in verse 2, he's undertaken the compilation of putting together, writing down the events of Jesus' life that have been accomplished among us, he says. And then he goes on in verse 2, he says, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses, ministers of the word. Notice, he doesn't count himself among those eyewitnesses. He says, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses, ministers of the word, have delivered them to us. So Luke is one of the recipients of the good news of Jesus from those people that saw it with their own eyes. He did not see it with his own eyes, but he was in contact with those who did. We know from later on in the New Testament, a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, Colossians, in chapter 4, verse 14, he refers to some of the people that were traveling with him at that time. One of them he refers to as Luke, the beloved physician. So we know a couple of things about Luke. One, he wasn't an eyewitness to the events of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Two, he was a physician. We also know that from that same passage in Colossians chapter 4 and other passages at the end of Acts, that Luke, at different times, was with the Apostle Paul as Paul traveled as a missionary. Not all the events in Paul's life, Luke was there, but for some of them. So Luke was also, he wasn't a witness to Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, but he was a witness to the work that Jesus was doing, his Holy Spirit was doing in the church, and a firsthand eyewitness to some of the things that happened in Paul's life. But primarily, like for his profession, he was a doctor, he was a physician. We also know that he took it upon himself to become a historian. Look at verse 3, it says, It seemed good to me also, having followed all things. In other words, he's gone back, and with these eyewitnesses, he's checked out every event that's been reported about Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. He's followed all of these things. And he hasn't just followed these things loosely, but he's followed these things, as he says in verse 3, closely. He has done the work carefully of checking out these events that he's about to tell us about throughout his gospel. And he's done it from the beginning, for some time past. Literally, in some of your Bibles, it'll say from the beginning. So he's gone back to the very beginning, even prior to the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in Mary. He's gone back to the very beginning. That's why many times at Christmas, we go to Luke's gospel, because he tells the most explicit detail about the events leading up to the birth of Jesus and the birth of Jesus. Because he's followed these events closely, and he's done it from the very beginning. And he says, to write an orderly account. That doesn't necessarily mean chronological. He just means an account that makes sense. I'm going to tell this to you. I'm going to write it down in a way that you can understand it. So Luke was not only a physician, but he's a self-taught, if you will. Maybe not self-taught. He may have learned these skills elsewhere. But a historian. And that is who God used to provide to us today, 2,000 years later, a glorious account of the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus. It may not seem like it matters much to us, but I want to say a couple of things. One, Luke wasn't a professional minister. So all of us in this room could identify with him. He used his gifts and his talents, his abilities to proclaim the gospel, even though he wasn't a quote-unquote missionary or pastor or preacher or minister in that sense. He used his gifts. So the next question, that's who Luke was. He was a physician. He became a historian for the sake of the gospel, and he's certain and passionate about these events, about Jesus. Next thing we need to ask is, why did Luke write the gospel? He didn't just write Luke. He also wrote the book of Acts. Luke has 22 chapters in it. Acts has 28 chapters in it. Luke wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote some more. These are long books of the Bible, long books of the New Testament. And he took it upon himself not just to sit down and write what he knew, but to study up on the events, then sit down and make sure they were in order, and then write them down. And he did this for a particular reason. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. So he's writing to an individual whose name was Theophilus. We don't know anything else about him. All we know is that Luke was written for him. The Gospel of Luke was written for him by Luke. And the book of Acts begins the same way, addressing Theophilus. And so Luke was certain of these events about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. He was passionate, and he wanted others to become certain and passionate about these events, about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So much so that he went to a lot of trouble to write them down for his friend Theophilus. This was not a quick and simple or easy task that Luke undertook. He was motivated by passion and certainty. He wouldn't have written down these things if he wasn't certain they were true. So I want to ask you again, for you to ponder in your own hearts and minds, how certain are you of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus? Because it matters. It matters. He was certain. Look at verse 1. I want to point something out to you. He says, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished. That those words, have been accomplished, three words in our language, one word in the language Luke used, and he says it in such a way, he uses a tense called the perfect tense, and he believed that the events he was talking about had lasting implications. They didn't just happen and then nothing else mattered after that regarding them. He believed that the life, the perfect life that Jesus lived, the death, his sacrificial death on the cross, and his resurrection mattered, and that they had lasting effects, not just for here and now, but for eternity. We okay? Okay. All right. We're gonna pray for y'all as y'all go. Love you, Katie. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for Katie again, Lord. We just pray that you would be her comfort, help her to just give her a calmness and remove her anxiety. I know she's nervous, Lord. I pray that you would be with them as they go to the hospital. I pray that you give the doctors and nurses wisdom in what to do and what not to do. And I just pray that you give Jamie and BJ wisdom too as they walk with her through this. Lord, we love you and we love Katie, and we just ask that you would be with her now. Amen. Again, just I know this is on our hearts and minds, so just if you're not listening, just pray for them. Pray for them. Or pray for them anyway. we have an account from Luke here that he was certain of, that the things that he believed happened had effects on not just here now, but for eternity, which is huge. So here's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to kind of hone in to what God was using Luke to do and why he used Luke to do that and what he was using Luke to do in the life of Theophilus. And I want us to dive off of that in these first four verses, and I want us to come down onto two prayers this morning. And if you're a believer here, I want to encourage you to pray these prayers today and in the days to come, especially throughout the Christmas season. But I want you to encourage you, if you're not a believer, just to simply pray for faith. Wrestle with whether these events are true. And pray that if they are, that the Lord God of the universe would give you certainty, the same certainty that he gave Luke about these events. So here's our first prayer. It's this: God, please increase my certainty and passion for the good news of Jesus. So here's the thing. We see this later on in the Gospel of Luke. Luke is certain, and we see that he wants Theophilus, the one he's writing to. In verse 4 it says, so that you may have certainty considering the things you have been taught. So Theophilus has been taught about these things. He may have even placed faith in Jesus at this point in his life. Luke wants him to be more certain. In Luke 17, verse 5, we see the disciples cry out to Jesus, increase our faith. So as a church and as individual Christians, we need to recognize something about faith this morning and certainty of our faith this morning. It is meant not to be a one-time thing, but it is meant that it begins and it increases. That the longer we're here following Jesus, the greater our certainty becomes and the greater our faith is. And so wherever you are on the scale of faith, however certain you believe your heart to be about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we can pray this prayer. God, increase my certainty and my passion for the good news of your Son, Jesus. So we see that in Luke. And I want you to think about Luke's process here. He shows just in these first four verses that he went to painstaking measures to make sure the events he wrote down were true. Think about it. He interviewed eyewitness after eyewitness. He heard the story after story of Jesus being born of a virgin, healing the blind, teaching in a way that no one has ever taught, dying an unjust death for the sinner, And then victoriously rising from the dead. He heard it over and over and over again. And if for 2 seconds we can put ourselves in his shoes, you sit down with a man or woman and you hear the same events that they saw and witnessed with their own eyes and ears. And then you go, wow, they actually saw these things happen and they're true. And then you sit down with another individual completely disconnected from the individual you just heard from. And you hear the exact same story. Jesus was born of a virgin. He came to save the sinner. He died in the sinner's place, though he was perfect. And then he victoriously rose from the dead, conquering sin and death for all those who would place faith in him. The same story over and over and over again. And if we could put ourselves in Luke's shoes, we would see that every time Luke heard that story from a different individual, his certainty became more firm. His faith increased every time he heard it. Every time. So let's take note of this, entering into a season, and I'm right here with you. Like, I started complaining about it back in August when my wife sent me a picture of Costco and they had the huge toy crackers in August singing Christmas music. Crazy. But we are embarking into a season, or we already have, according to some retailers, where we will hear the story of Jesus's birth over and over and over again. And my prayer for us is that for that part of the Christmas season, we would listen to it joyfully. And we would listen to it with a heart that says, Lord, as I hear this story over and over again, may my heart never grow tired of it, and may you use it to increase my faith just as you did in Luke's life. Increase my faith, increase my certainty, and my passion for the good news of Jesus. What a tremendous opportunity we have during the Christmas season to hear it over and over. God, please increase my faith and passion for the good news of your Son. We can either choose to be annoyed by the repetition, or we can choose to pray and ask the Lord to use it in our hearts. If you're an unbeliever here, you're going to walk through this season with us, whether you want to or not. And I want to challenge you, listen to the story of Jesus and ask God to show you whether it's true or not. Ask him for faith if it is. So that's our first prayer. We see Luke's certainty in these verses as he's about to embark on telling us the story of Jesus. And we pray for the same certainty he had. Not only that, but we pray to be used as Luke was. He was used in the life of Theophilus to bring Theophilus certainty. Not only Theophilus, although that was what was in his mind's eye, to be used by God in the life of Theophilus. He has been used in so many other individuals and churches to bring them certainty of the events that came to pass and were accomplished by the Lord Jesus. And so our second prayer, I would like us to pray as a church, as believers, if you're here and you're a believer, is this, that God, please use me to lead others to become certain and passionate about the good news of Jesus. That is precisely what God was using Luke to do in the life of Theophilus. He was using Luke, a certain believer whose faith was increasing, to help increase the faith and certainty of another believer. May God use us in that way. To write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. May that be said of Eastside, for the children that grow up in our midst, for the adults that come to faith in our midst and are discipled here. May they one day say that God used Eastside to teach me about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and God used Eastside to increase my certainty about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. May God use us as individuals to do that for individuals. It's a big prayer. Would you pray it with me, church? In the days ahead, can we pray that? God, use us to bring others, to lead others to become more certain and passionate about the good news of Jesus. When you think about this for a second, the same thing that we talked about a moment ago, we are embarking on a Christmas season where we will hear the story over and over and over again of Jesus' birth, along with a lot of other stories. But we will hear it over and over and over again. A season that for many will be hard because of events in their life over the last year. A season that has been hard for many over several years. A season that many will hear the good news of Jesus' birth. And they'll hear it on the same level that they hear the story of Rudolph. A season where many will not be certain of these events. A season where many will wonder whether or not they are true, and in their heart will hope they are, but they don't believe yet. Think about the opportunity we have. Think about the opportunity we have in the hearts of children. We can be used by God to lead them to be certain and passionate about the good news of Jesus. We can share the story of Jesus' birth time and time again over the next few months with our children, 2 months with our children. And they will gladly hear it because 'tis the season. And I just want to say, I want to encourage you, if you're a parent or grandparent in here, or aunt, uncle, wherever you land in the lives of children, spend more time sharing this story than you do the others. And tell it in such a way that by the end of this Christmas season, there is a distinct difference between the history of Jesus and the other stories that we'll hear over the next 2 months. A distinct difference. That they will be certain that those things about Jesus are true. And that it will go with them into the rest of the year in 2018. As you gather with friends and family, use the opportunity to open the Bible and read the story of Jesus. Take note that Luke's certainty increased in him because of the repetition of the story in his life. And he thought the same thing would happen in the life of Theophilus if he simply wrote it down. So as you gather with friends and family and you plan time to eat and you plan time to play backyard football and you plan time to do this and that, plan time to open the Word and read the story of Jesus' birth. It will do your heart good. It will do their hearts good. And practically, I think we might do good. There's nothing wrong with the word story. It might do good for us to call it history and not story, to differentiate it from all the stories that we hear this time of year. One other way to think about this is among your family, among your friends, your coworkers, you may have opportunities to encourage them in their faith. And you can ask the same question I've asked of you this morning. I've asked of us this morning. It's Christmas time. We're talking about the story of Jesus, and we hear all these other stories that are told this time of year. And one thing that we can ask our family and our friends and our coworkers is, how certain are you that the events we tell about Jesus are true? What an opportunity to tell them that it is true. To encourage them that, just as Luke did Theophilus, these things are true. You can be certain of them. And Jesus, because of that, Jesus is worthy of your trust in your life. So two prayers for us as a church. God, increase our certainty and our passion for the good news of Jesus. And two, God, use us to lead others to become certain and passionate about the good news of Jesus. And I don't know that there is another 2 month time period during our calendar year that there's better and more opportunity to do that. To hear the repetition of the story of Jesus' birth over and over and over again, have the opportunity to repeat it over and over and over and over again and have the opportunity to ask, are you certain of the things we are celebrating this time of year? I am. If you're here and you're an unbeliever, you're not certain and you haven't placed faith in Jesus, I just want to encourage you. He is trustworthy and true. The events written down about him, his perfect life, his sacrificial death on your behalf and my behalf, and his victorious resurrection that allows us to place faith in him and have eternal life with him, there's nothing better, was for you, and it is true. So I want to, if you're not there yet, if you are, then praise God. I would love for you to share that with us this morning and profess your faith in him as your Lord and Savior. If you're not there yet, then take the time this morning and just pray and say, God, if it's true, convince me. Give me the faith to believe that these things are true, to trust your son, Jesus. I want to pray, and then I want us to stand and sing. And I want to encourage you in the days, moments, hours, weeks ahead to pray these two prayers. God, lead me to be more certain and passionate about the good news of Jesus. Use me to lead others to become more certain and passionate about the good news of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, Katie is on our hearts, and we pray for her right now. God, you have been so faithful to sustain her and her body through so many trials. And I know she's nervous right now, and so Lord, I pray right now that you would just give her unshakable faith in the middle of a storm. I pray that same prayer for BJ and Jamie. I pray that you give the doctors wisdom and the nurses wisdom as they see about her. And I pray that by lunchtime today, things would be better. And whatever's going on now would be resolved. Lord, we just ask for your presence with that family. God, we ask that you would lead us as we respond to your word this morning, that especially in the midst of storms, you would give us certainty and passion for the good news of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would lead us to lead others to become more certain and passionate, and give us ways to do that, opportunities to do that in the weeks to come. Use this series in our life as a church and those that are with us and walking through this with us in the next few weeks as we study passage by passage the things that led up to the birth of Jesus. Use that to make us certain of these events, Lord. Lord, we just ultimately, we pray for your glory to be known in our lives and in the lives around us and here in Grady County. We pray these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
I've been held by the Savior. I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus. Days gone, all my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood. no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. And I'm not going back, I'll never be the same. So I say, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord. Then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. All my hope is in Jesus. I've been.